Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio fans and Pop Culture Stars fans. This is Dr. John Stamey from a cold, cold Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, but it was sunny today and beautiful, and we have got another episode of America's favorite good time show, the one and only Pop Culture Stars, and we've got a full house tonight. We're going to have a lot of crazy cool things to talk about, so stay tuned, grab onto your chairs, and I'll introduce our callers. First of all, I guess in order that they called in, first of all, from Springdale, Arkansas, the one, the only, Granny Hulster. How are you, Granny?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, Dr. John. It's cold here tonight in Arkansas. Very cold, cold and rainy today. And they're talking about possible snow tomorrow. I hope not a lot, but I'm not ready for the snow.
Well, you are the first member of our call-in panelists that has been stricken by the disease. Do you mind sharing that with us?
Yes, unfortunately. Well, I went to my mom's for Thanksgiving, and Saturday we got home, and I had developed a little bit of a cough and what I thought was a sinus headache, so I went and got tested Monday. I have no temperature. I have no loss of taste or smell, so the doctor seems to think that I have a very mild case, but unfortunately I tested positive for that nasty COVID-19, and my son tested positive yesterday. So I am stuck at home for the next 10 to 14 days. But I don't feel bad, guys. I mean, I think I've got just a very mild case. I just finished some hot tea and with lemon and honey, and it was a nice cup of mint hot tea. And so I've had a couple cups of hot tea tonight, and we're just moving right along. So,
well, we are glad you are here. And our next caller that came right on in, from our eye in the sky in Indianapolis, or greater Indianapolis, the one and only Tim Armstrong. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
It's 30 degrees outside, but I'm nice and warm and cozy inside. I got
it's
my diet.
30
degrees. It was like 45 today, 30 right now, and who knows when the next time is it's going to snow. It tried to snow a couple days ago. But sitting back, ready for a nice show, and let's kick it off.
Absolutely. So now I've got to ask everybody the question. And so, Granny, I didn't ask you the question. Are you ready for Christmas?
Ready as I'll ever be.
As ready as you'll ever be.
I don't buy a lot of Christmas presents, guys. I mean, Christmas to me is so commercialized anymore. I just try to remember the true meaning of Christmas, and, you know, my husband and I, we're the type of people, because my mom and dad were this way, if there was something we wanted or we needed, we bought it, we would say, happy birthday, happy anniversary, Merry Christmas, you know, I mean, I don't have a lot of people to buy for, you know, I don't have a lot of family left, so, you know, I just don't spend a lot of money on Christmas. I don't even decorate in my house for Christmas, guys. I don't do it. I love Christmas, but it's just too commercialized.
Well, okay, but we're still glad you're going to be celebrating and thinking those good thoughts. And now, Tim, are you ready for Christmas? You've got a couple daughters, don't you?
I have stepchildren, but the way I'm going to answer that question, Todd knows how I answer this best. It's with one word, and that word is nope. Yeah, so I have five kids all together. I have a gazillion nieces and nephews. I got, you know, parents on both sides of the family here, so I'm never ready for Christmas. I'm up until 2 in the morning on Christmas Eve doing final wrappings and things. And hell, sometimes it's Christmas Day when I'm finishing up wrapping. But we got a lot done.
Case of fruitcakes. That's what you need to buy. Give them all a fruitcake.
There you go. Or get into some small hobby where I can build little tree houses or something and get those out.
Yep. Todd, how are you doing? And are you ready for Christmas?
I'm outstanding, the supernatural, ecstatic to be here.
I think I've got all the externals covered for Christmas. Now I got to worry about the household. And I just haven't even really put a lot of thought into it. So it'll be ugly. But other than that, I'm good. I'm ready.
Well, good.
Happy,
well,
happy holiday, y'all.
I'm going to get up and see you and Dave sometime over the holidays is what I'm going to do, because if I don't, then I'll be in trouble. But anyway, glad you're kind of getting ready and getting ready to have some fun. From Ravenel, South Carolina, and I mean that place is out there in the middle of the woods, the one and only amazing Velvet. How are you doing tonight, Velvet?
I'm good. How is everybody? And I am not ready for Christmas.
You can buy
a
plant.
There. I said it.
You're not ready for Christmas, and I say you can just buy a damn plant. But that's what
well,
you can do. And
do I sense a little ball humbug in your voice?
No, I'm just playing.
Okay.
Okay.
No, we're not ready for. Well, we are never ready for Christmas because we have a big family and it's, we do all kind of crazy stuff at Christmas. So I'm not ready for the craziness.
Okay. Well, we're still glad you're here with us and that you're not ready for Christmas. You're kind of like the not ready for primetime players, whoever they were.
That's right.
All right. And of course.
John Belushi, James, Lorraine Newman, Garrett Morris, and Gilda Radner.
All right.
Thank you, Malcolm. I'll introduce you in a minute. As soon as I introduce the Grinch himself, the one, the only Dave Atwell. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Atwell?
I'm doing well. Hope everybody else is. As for Christmas, I'm kind of a strange reality I'm going through with the holiday this year is after spending 35 years in retail management, Christmas is always a blur that I seem to spend at work. And when the holiday actually gets here, you're so exhausted you can't enjoy it. So here I am now owning my own business, and I will actually be able to manage my own holiday festivities. And Governor Cooper has shot it full of holes. But he can throw a youth soccer tournament in Raleigh for over 100 teams, but I can't get my family together for Christmas without the German Shepherds and the guy in spiked helmets come beating on my door.
Yeah, whatever.
So I won't. Yeah, I'm hiding them under the floorboards. But
that's why
I do.
That's why I bought a shotgun.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Old Adolf Cooper is trying to put the kibosh on everything.
He is. This is Meisterburger. You remember that thing? Burger Meisterburger. We're going to get a good toys. No toys. I just it's
man,
funny how
funny.
Life kind of kicks you in the shins and works its way up to your balls a lot of times when it comes down to life. How you?
All right.
You have the ability, you have the time and the finances, and enter the virus. So, I'm going to make the best of it, and if nothing else, I'll just get loaded. That fixes everything.
Okay, Dave, if that's what you say.
Cheers.
And finally, the one and only Malcolm Wildman, who is here with us. I'm glad he's here. He's already done the Not Ready for Primetime Players, and he has something to tell us or remind us that happened today. Malcolm, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. It's nice to hear all you guys. If I can get your addresses, I was going to get each one of you a gift for Christmas.
Very kind of you.
And, Todd and Dave and Tim, you know, you're not on the other shows, and you know, maybe Dr. John can, if I give it to him, he can mail them to you. So,
We'll get it worked out. That's very kind of you. So, how are you doing today? And tell us the news that you've got to share with us.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I was 5 years old when I saw this guy. Me and my sister, I was really into Batman and I used to watch Three Stooges. I was only 5 and 68. Me and my sister were watching The Addams Family and The Munsters, two episodes on Channel 44. And this show came on called Big Time Wrestling. You know, this band, you know, band music, like they used to play at halftime, the bands back when they had the college football games on. And it goes, dun, 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 dun. And the guy goes, it's Big Time Wrestling, and the promoter Roy Shire and Hank Renner. There's this beautiful lady, and she comes out, and there's all these names on this big board, and it's verses. And she puts stars by every time Hank Renner announces, like, Kenji Shibuya and Mr. Saito, they're big stars. She puts a star next to them, or Ray Stevens, you know. But I got to look at these guys, and they had a feud with the Great Mephisto and Crazy Luke Graham. They were their rivals back in 68, and the guys' names were Pat Patterson, and the other guy's name was Rocky Johnson. And Rocky was the father of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. A lot of people know that, but in case you didn't know, I thought I'd throw that in. And, you know, watching these guys, you know, they were just exciting. Rocky Johnson could do, like, the best standing drop kick. And Pat would go to the top of the turnbuckle, and he'd drop a knee on his opponent, called it the bombs away. And we used to hear the crowd. Me and my sister were at home, and my brother would watch it in the later years. And the crowd would say, go, Pat, go, go, Pat. And me and my sister would be at home, and we'd be yelling it. And I remember 1972, I think it was. It was in the summer, and we're watching the shows. And by then, they were on, instead of one time on Channel 44, they were on three times a day because we had cable by then. And we had Channel 40 in Stockton, and we had Channel 50 in Santa Rosa. And all the matches were the same, but the interviews were different on every show. And it was fun to watch the interviews and listening to Pat. You know, we knew he's from Montreal, Canada, and Rocky, I forget where Rocky was from, but they did a commercial one day on Channel 44 with the local sales guy, the Dodge dealer, and they were talking about the San Francisco 49ers because they mostly wrestled in San Francisco at the Cow Palace. And they were announcing that, you know, the 49ers aren't playing the good this year, but we're going to have a match at the Cow Palace, and some of the 49er players are going to be there tonight. You know, my brother got all excited because he's a big 49er fan. But, you know, it was Pat Patterson, Rocky Johnson, Ray Stevens, and Andre the Giant that were doing this commercial with the guy broadcasting. But the next week after that, Rio and Tio Tafui, I think they were from, like, the Philippines or the Fiji Islands, and they were, like, preliminary wrestlers, guys you wouldn't really see on the big cards, you know, the big events on Saturday night. And there was another guy, Manuel Cruz, from Mexico City, Mexico. And they got in the ring with these guys called the Masked Interns. And their manager was Dr. Ken Ramey. And it was like a handicap match. And the Masked Interns beat these guys. And then Dr. Ken Ramey said, you know, I want you guys to beat them down, you know. And, you know, beat them up totally, you know, put them out of wrestling. Out of nowhere, out of the back room comes Rocky Johnson. He's got the Western jacket on with the tassels. And Pat's got a sequin blue jacket on with a mask. See, the Great Mephisto used to put a foreign object in his boot, and Pat was trying, you know, to find some way to counter what he was doing. And me and my sister, my brother was out playing with the neighborhood kids, football, baseball. We never missed wrestling. I mean, I was reading comic books, watching superheroes and cartoons, and Pat, you know, wrestling was like the perfect setup for me as a kid. You know, it got me excited on Saturdays. I never missed it. Anyway, they come out of nowhere, and they got something in their hands, and I didn't know what it was. It was kind of gold. And now that I know, it was brass knuckles. And they came in the ring, and everybody's trying to take the mask off the masked interns. And they came in, they start beating them in the head, beating them on top of the head, trying to pull their mask out, blood's flying out. That was the wildest thing I ever saw as a wrestling fan ever. I mean, I even told Hulk Hogan that when I met him 2 years ago. But I'm telling you, you know, I saw Pat Patterson, you know, when Hulk Hogan was taking on the Iron Sheik, was January 23rd, 1984, and Gorilla Monsoon was brought doing the play-by-play, and Pat was commentating, and I was thinking about those days at that time. Then in 2008, you know, I'd see him here and there, Pat Patterson. I saw, the thing about Pat is I told Roddy Piper that this, when Pat came out of the ring after he beat Adrian Adonis at WrestleMania 3, the hair versus hair match, Pat Patterson was the first guy to shake Piper's hand. And in 2008, it was a big-time wrestling event, and Kirk White was the promoter, and he brought in, at the Newark Pavilion, Pat Patterson was right at the table, and I got to meet him, and I got a picture with him. And I found out he was a singer. He sold me the CD of his songs, and I went home and listened to it, and I wrote Pat an email and told him, you have a terrific singing voice. And then in 2008, I met him the first time. In 2018, he signed a copy of his book. Baron Von Raske was right next to him. And Pat told me that day, I was doing the Hulk Hogan impression for him, and Baron Von Raske and Baron Von Raske's wife was there. And Baron Von Raske, I took a picture with Pat and Baron Von Raske together. His wife took the picture, and Baron Von Raske put his hand around me like the claw I used to do. And I told Pat, you know, I was excited to meet him. I'd met Rocky Johnson before, you know, and it was like the second time I met Pat. And Pat told me, Malcolm, I think you're one of the nicest and most dedicated wrestling fans I ever met. I mean, I've heard other fans tell me, oh, Pat Patterson's a jerk. Pat Patterson's a homosexual. I don't want to meet him, stuff like that. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what they do in their personal life outside the ring. I told Pat and Baron Von Raske that day, you guys created great moments for me as a kid, you know, and I'm always going to respect you for that. You know, if you have anything in your personal life and people have a problem with it, I don't, you know. So I just want to say, you know, when he died today, I almost cried because I lost Rocky Johnson earlier this year. And Pat he was fun to watch when I was a kid. I mean, he teamed up the Ray Stevens. He was in Battle Royals. My dad got to meet at Tri-City Auto Supply. The wrestlers used to go there with these big, long cards and announce they were going to be the Richmond Auditorium or the Oakland Auditorium or the Oakland Coliseum Arena or the Cow Palace or the San Jose Civic Auditorium. And they'd bring these big, long wrestling cards to my dad's auto supply store, Tri-City in Rodeo, California. And Pat actually got to meet Pat, or Dad got to meet Pat Patterson one time when he was bringing that card. And Dad brought it home, and it was signed by Pat, big, long card. He said, my kids love you. And he brought the card home, and Pat had signed the card. I wish I still had that card, but I bet it would be worth something because, you know, Andre the Giant signed it.
Yes,
Rocky
it would.
John, you know, yeah. But, you know, Dr. Don had to get that in. And Hulk Hogan, I told Hulk Hogan 2 years ago when he was his boot camp, I said, Pat Patterson and Rocky Johnson were my original heroes. And Hulk Hogan said, Pat Patterson actually trained me when I first came in. I was blown away. You know, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, you know, they thought that was really cool. You know, that, you know, I told Hulk that Pat Patterson was my original Hulkamaniac leader, you know, and Hulk gave me a thumbs up, you know. So
That's great, Malcolm, and thank you for that reminisce, because that's good. It's always good when you can talk about the heroes that you've had and everything. And what I want to do now is I want to start with the good and the bad of Christmas. I want to start and ask everybody, what is the best Christmas present you ever got? And then you can tell us, what is the worst Christmas present you ever got? Now, you don't have to tell us who gave it to you, but the best one you can tell who gave it to you. But the worst one you don't have, and I'm going to go right back to Granny and then back down the list on the order that we showed up. So, Granny, what was the best and the worst Christmas present that you've ever gotten?
Well, my best Christmas present, even though this happened before Christmas, was getting married to my wonderful husband that I'm married to now. We'll be married 11 years, the 19th of this month. And getting married on December 19th and having my son give me away for the wedding was probably the best Christmas present that I could ever have. There was about 15 people at our wedding. It was, we were part of a bipolar support group, and we always had a beautiful Christmas party in our friend's house every year. They lived up in Bella Vista, Arkansas. They had a gorgeous house, and that was probably the best Christmas present. I don't think I've ever got a bad Christmas present ever in my life. I mean, you know, I don't think I ever had a bad Christmas present.
Okay, well, that's a good thought from back in the day. Now, Tim, what is your best and your worst of Christmas?
I think both of them have to go back to childhood, because as an adult, they're really, you know, it's more or less just making sure everyone else, like, I like to actually buy the presents and see my kids' reactions, my siblings' reactions, anyone that I'm buying. So that being said, going back to my childhood, my favorite without any thought is when I got a Crossman TV when I was 12 years old. My absolute favorite Christmas present that I couldn't wait to get that the scope on. I lived in the city, so I couldn't just take it out and shoot it when I wanted. But that was the coolest thing I ever got. And then staying with the childhood time, no one liked getting clothes. You know, when you get clothes every once in a while because your parents just have to get you clothes for one of your presents, it's like, no, I don't want clothes for Christmas. I want to open up toys. So just in general, anytime I got clothes, obviously nowadays, you know, wife gets me sweaters. I love it. You know, things like that. Kids get me stuff. That's great. But as a kid, nobody wants clothes.
I'm going to bust right in here, and I'm going to tell everybody my least favorite Christmas present is I had a great uncle named Uncle Ben, and he worked at Haynes Hosiery in Glen Alpine. And every year I got a 12-pack box of socks. Oh, it was great. Navy blue socks, 12 pairs of them every year. And it was always the same. I think it was always the same box. And it was like, and I had to be nice to Uncle Ben. And God, I didn't want to get those socks. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, Uncle Ben, now you know, he's gone away and he's listening, but it was like, oh no, not socks again. And then I'll never forget. One year my grandmother got me a box of socks and Uncle Ben got me a box of socks and I had 24 pairs of socks. And I tried to be nice, I really did. But I looked at my parents and they kept shaking their heads and smiling at me. I was like, uh-huh, yeah, you better be nice about those socks. Okay. So I got it out.
And,
all right, I've told everybody.
This day and age, I would love to get socks today because there's like a little sock troll that rolls around my house and steals every damn pair of socks that I have. Somehow I can go out and buy pairs and pairs of socks. I go in the sock drawer and there's never a damn pair there to save my life.
Oh,
I'm
Tim.
One more sock to make my day. Yeah.
All right. Well,
somebody use them for toilet paper.
Okay, Velvet.
All right, Velvet, since you
want
to be such a commentator, I want you to tell us what your favorite and least favorite presents were.
Well, the greatest present I ever got was in 1986. The day after technically Christmas, I went on my first date with my now wife. In 1986, that was my greatest Christmas present ever.
Nice.
And I think whoever said something about clothes. Nobody wants to get clothes as a kid. Nobody wants that crap. That's right. But my least favorite was right after I had been in and out of Catholic school my whole life. So I thought, well, I made it through a Christmas without having to go back to Catholic school. Wrong again. As soon as that was over. Oh, guess what? We signed you up to go back to the Catholic school as soon as the break's over. I was like, ah, come on. So I'm like,
what a great present. Okay, well, you lived. You made
awful.
It through. All right, next. Wait, I heard a double D, whatever that means. I don't know. But anyway, the next one is Todd. Todd, what were your best and worst Christmas present?
All right, yeah, before we get to that, I want to make sure that if we're not on, let's remember microphone protocol. If we're not on, we want to make sure we have the mic off. If we're listening on a separate device, there's feedback coming through, so let's make sure we do those little things. The it's kind of funny because both Velvet and Grammy kind of stole my thunder a little bit. What I wanted to go ahead and point out, I was told yesterday that the best Christmas present I ever had is my wife. She reminded me about that gently. They're all kind of good. And the funny thing is, I've been at that age forever now where it's like just needful things. So not just the socks, but boy, it's nice to get a new batch of drawers. Just saying. those are like you hit a certain point in life and like those are good presents. I don't necessarily remember anything bad, but sure enough, as a kid, I never appreciated clothes. That's, true story. Did not appreciate them.
See, I'm telling you. There
back
you
to
go.
That microphone discipline, people, or listening on a separate device.
Okay, well, we'll tell them to do it. I don't hear the feedback, but that's okay. And someone keeps double beeping me, and I don't know who it is, but that's okay.
Is it our guest, Dr. John?
What?
Would it be our guest?
No, I'm watching for him carefully to see if he'll come on. So now, let's see. Dave Atwell, the old Grinch himself, what is your favorite and least favorite present?
Well, any time as a kid, I could tell you the Sergeant Major and Mom, all year long, everybody else had members-only jackets, and, I never became a member. But every Christmas, I was never a member. But every Christmas, they pulled out the stops. I mean, they showed no mercy. I mean, you name it, we got it. And which, I always hold in high regard. And so when I became a parent, I tried to echo the same thing. And, of course, my wife, talking about clothes, I'm sitting here laughing like hell because I told my wife years and years and years ago that Christmas is for giving gifts that you would otherwise get your ass chewed for getting. So, in other words, if I was to go out to the store and buy a sweatshirt, it'd be, oh, you bought a sweatshirt. No sweat. If I went out and bought a new video game, it's, oh, my God, you bought a video game? So Christmas is for those gifts that you would otherwise get hammered for buying. And when it comes down to a kid, there's nothing worse than opening a box and pulling out some goddamn sweatshirts. Okay? I don't want sweatshirts if I'm a kid. I want some cars. I want some Star Wars guys, So all that being said, two quick funny stories. Number one, when we were kids, we went up to Santa Claus. And my brother had mentioned that he wanted some Hot Wheel tracks. Well, he got back out off of Santa's lap, and I shoved him. And Mom's like, what are you doing? And I says, why would he ask for Hot Wheel track when everybody gets their tail tore up with the stuff? So that was one thing. And the other thing actually happened back in 1992. I was going through a divorce. And if any of you out there listening or with us tonight have been through a divorce, you understand that a lot of odd things happen during divorce. There's a reason why there's no book on divorce is because you can't really write one because it's so damned odd of the things that happen. So when I screwed up my first wife on Columbus Day weekend, it was shortly thereafter that she emptied every bank account we had, blah, blah, blah. And what little money I had, I was spending on alcohol to keep my family in check. So when Christmas came around, what money I had, I spent on presents. And I didn't spend on wrapping paper or any of that nifty stuff. So what I did is at work, I got the brown grocery bags. And I put the loot that belonged to each family member in the bag, folded it over, stapled it twice, and took a black magic marker from work. And I wrote, Dad, Mom, Dan, that's my brother. And I put these three brown grocery bags under the Christmas tree. And, you know, I got that look from everybody when I brought it in, and I says, I couldn't afford the goddamn wrapping paper. So what's funny,
Dave, look, don't feel bad. I'll tell you right now, I was the one that showed up at somebody's birthday party, and our wrapping paper was the comics page, the leftover comics page from the last Sunday's newspaper.
Yeah, I mean, it worked like a champ. So two things happened. Number one is that now it's kind of become a family tradition to put something in a bag and just hand it to each other. Two, I will honestly kick myself every day because I invented the gift bag and didn't even realize the damn thing.
Hey, Dave.
Had I counted... Yeah.
It was a members only club, buddy. That's why you didn't get in.
Yeah. The members only jacket I got didn't have the shoulder straps. It had the neck strap, but not the shoulder strap. So that made me kind of.
Oh, you mean you had the Michael outside. Jackson jacket?
I had the outside looking in jacket, is what I had.
Oh.
It was,
it was a straight jacket. Wait, that's what Malcolm had. Never mind.
In the Southeast, remember that store Roses, right?
Yeah.
Yes, well, that's where I got my members only jacket from. So I wore that to school. I was definitely a member. I was reminded.
You were a member, huh? Okay.
I was a member, all right.
Well, that was great. Well, I think I have another bad Christmas story, but it had a funny ending. I remember when I first got my first job, and it was so great. I had money. I graduated from college, and I had money, and I could buy everybody some nice Christmas presents. So I bought everybody something nice. It was about $50 a piece, sweaters and some stuff from a real nice department store. And then so I get there, and I give everybody my presents. And I have this evil aunt. And so there were five of them in that family. So they each got a $50 present from me. And I remember I got a $10 gift certificate from the whole bunch of them. And I looked at my mother and I said, did I do something wrong? She said, yes, you spent too much money on them. Why don't you give them a $10 gift certificate next year? And I did.
That'll learn you.
And they didn't know what to do. It was hysterical. I mean, what more can I say? So that's when I learned, watch the parity of what you give. I mean, if someone doesn't care enough about you to give you anything more than about $2 a piece for the five of them, you know, don't spend $250 on them. But they liked the sweaters, but you know, that was about it. So I don't know. That was kind of my Grinch that almost stole Christmas. But my mother was just too smart. She said, "Buy them a $10 gift certificate next year. That's all you have to do. They'll get the hint." And so anyway, thank you, Mom. I really appreciate it. So now, since we're talking, y'all laughing at me. Stop laughing at me. Are you folks really, really? We're getting in the mood for Christmas. So I want us to all share our best Christmas experience. I know we've got a great Christmas experience, and golly, I hope I didn't miss it. Did I miss anybody coming back down that road?
Yeah, you missed me.
Malcolm. What was he? Oh, gosh. See, that's why I asked Malcolm, because sometimes when I get on the show, I just can't remember what's going on.
You
all
think?
Right, buddy, so what was your... Be quiet.
Malcolm, you're the one with the hot mic. You've been on the whole time.
Dr. John, the best Christmas present is real easy. I was 5 years old, 1968. I used to go to my grandma's for Christmas Eve. She bought me an Ideal Captain Action, and I just loved that thing. The worst present, that's easy too. It was a few years later. We went to grandma's house. She bought me, I forget who made them, but they were called the Ding-a-Lings, little robots. And they had this great big one called King Ding-a-Ling, and he had like a brain, and you're supposed to be able to put the little robot in the brain. Well, he got jammed up in there. I had to take him back to Sears. Oh, my grandma. I was like really down about that.
Well, it was at that point, it was the thought that counted.
I think it was Remco.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go yell at Remco for sure. All right, now what is the best Christmas? Now, what is the best Christmas? Let's get back to being positive here. Let's go for the best Christmas experience that you've had, not the present. It's not, as Granny says, it's not about how much money you spend or what you buy, but it's the experience. And I think that would really put us in the mood for Christmas. All the pop culture stars are going to love this. So I'm going to go in the middle. I'm going to go in a different order. Tim, what was your best Christmas experience?
So I'm going to have to – I just can't. There's not anything that sticks out any one moment. But I can give you a general answer here. And I'm going to stick with – it doesn't just have to be a kid. I mean, I guess even up until now, but when I was younger, it was a lot more enjoyable. But I always loved Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve was kind of like the lead up to – and, you know, there was always a fire going, and depending on what stage in life I was at, either I was a little kid and my grandma, who has since passed, but she would come to town and the rest of us would be there just kind of staying up a little bit later, having goodies and just thinking about, you know, what you were going to get the next day. And then as I was older, it was always exciting because the family all got back together. My brothers, who had been away at college, came back home. And again, you know, we had a grandma there, the fire's going, it's just kind of like the anticipation, everyone's sitting around. It's just not an average night, it's just, you know, there's something about it. And we still do that to this day, but it's much more appreciated when, you know, you're younger. Some of those things you take for granted, and you look back as an adult, and you're like, man, those are some really cool times. But there's not any single moment, I don't think, that sticks out. Just so many awesome memories. And a lot of them, I think, had to do with Christmas Eve.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and jump in there and say the same here. I'll never forget the night, the Christmas Eve, that it actually snowed. I think I was 10 years old, and I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. So, I mean, what more can I say? It was just really wonderful, and that's the one that I remember the most, in front of fire. Tim, you must have had the same family that I did. So that was definitely my favorite Christmas moment. Dave Atwell, what was your favorite Christmas moment? Don't be a Grinch on me.
You know, there's a lot of good Christmas that I've experienced, you know, especially as a kid and everything. Because, like I said, my folks really pulled out the stops on Christmas. despite the fact that my dad be going every third one, being in the Corps and everything. But it was when Rob was born. And, you know, I was actually, and you can say what you want. There's nothing wrong with having daughters. That's not what I'm getting at. But it's tough to buy your daughter Ninja Turtle stuff. It's tough to buy your daughter Darth Vader stuff. And when Rob came along, I hit my renaissance. And he, when he was a little guy, and I got him grooving on Marvel and Star Wars and Ninja Turtles and He-Man and Transformers, G.I. Joe, and all that good stuff. So it was the years that I was able to, you know, do that kind of stuff with him. And then I think he was 16 the year that we bought him his first BB gun. And it wasn't no Red Ryder. It was a legit crack barrel with the scope and the whole nine yards. And if I recall, it rained like hell for Christmas and the day after, and we couldn't go out and shoot. And we went out there finally when the weather was agreeable and started shooting and had such a good time. I stopped what I was doing, drove to Walmart and bought a BB pistol. I think it was a model like a 357, if I'm not mistaken, that we got, where they actually, you put the BBs in the shells, and it's a six shot. And we sat out here and shot Christ knows how many cans and everything. And I saw a picture of it. We look like Ruby Ridge in the picture. If I ever end up on the ID channel, that'll be the picture they use. But we sat out here and shot all damn day long. And as a dad, that's the stuff that counts. You know, I can go without getting a damn thing for Christmas, but seeing my family enjoy it, that's all I need.
I agree 100%.
Yes, sir.
I can't believe the Grinch gave us a tender-hearted moment. Thank you, Mr. Grinch. You're the best.
The heart enlarges every now and then at the end of the story. I'm going to break away and untie the sticks from my dog's head real quick while you guys are carrying on. Okay? Let me go slice
you
the
are
road.
You are the worst sometimes.
On that note, I cannot wait till the day when I can get Tanner his first BB gun. I know the wife's in a fringe. I know I'll get in a fight about it, but I can't wait until I can get him his first BB gun.
And don't get a Red Ryder. Those things, they break so easy. There's no range on them. Just go ahead and spend the extra $30-$40 and get something. You damn right.
Buy a Crossman brand BB gun.
Yep, I
hear
him. Todd.
Submachine gun.
Just get him a pump shotgun.
I had a Crossman, and that thing, I still have it. I did have to replace a seal like about 5 years ago, but I got that sucker when I was 12. So it's nice. Going on, you know, it's like 30 years old and still works. So, yep, I'd look for a Crossman.
Of course, Rob's at the age now where the BB guns are done. He's asking for five, six rounds, which are impossible to find. And he just bought himself a Ruger AR-15 and has got that thing all decked out with laser sights. It's funny, I'm out here burning. About a month ago, I'm out here burning, and I've got me a bottle of liquor out here, believe it or not, when I'm burning. And I walk in here. Yeah, it's unusual, ain't it? So I go to grab the bottle, and I see this light sitting on it, right? And I reach down to grab it. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, I see this green light on the bottleneck. And I pull my hand back real fast, and I look up, and there's Rob standing out there with his damn AR-15 drawn down on my damn liquor bottle. I looked at him, I said, don't do that shit to me. I said, I owe too many people money, and there's too many people out there that don't like me. So whenever I see something like that going on, I think the worst. But, yeah, in the event that you do have a family member who's in the firearms, ammunition, boys and girls, is a fantastic present. So keep that in mind. And it will be harder to obtain than
January. All right, Dave, go tend to your dogs. I'm going to go to Todd next. Todd.
All right, handful of things. First off, I thought when I retired in 2005 from the Marine Corps that I wouldn't have to deal with any more Christmases away from the family. So I suspect my favorite Christmas moment will be this coming year when it's really looking like I'll actually be able to be with them for the first time since 2017. So that's pretty damn huge. But I'm going to tell you what I think is a neat story. You got the kids. They're growing up. They believe in Santa Claus. We had Dave help me out. It's a number of decades ago. Probably 13 years ago here in North Carolina, we actually had a little bit of snow on Christmas Eve. I remember going out and splaying my knuckles and putting them in the snow so it could make like little reindeer marks in the snow, stuff like that, like little hoof prints, things like that. Doing all those things for the kids to try to keep the magic going, right? But I had that year that Garion was like, look, I'm not even trying to pretend this year. The Santa Claus stuff ain't buying it. I'm like, fine, come on over and play the adult side on Christmas Eve. Garion helping with stuffing the stockings and some of the little crap and things like that. That first Christmas that, you know, he was like, nope, not even going to play, don't believe it, whatever. And he sat there and got to help play Santa Claus. And that was really that was a pretty cool Christmas, man. I'm just saying, it really was.
Hey, Todd, can I jump in again? There's one little funny anecdote. Todd kind of made me think of this. And I think it was just last year. It was last year or the year before, kind of going along the lines of playing the Santa thing. So we got, I don't remember where we got it from, but it was this little thing of, it was reindeer food. And I don't know if one of the kids brought it home from school or what, but it was reindeer food. And so we're like, oh, yeah, we got to put it out for, you know, all the reindeer. We'll put it out by the front steps. So we put all this stuff out. Well, just a little hint, if you're still doing this and you put the stuff out, you might want to consider getting rid of it, because when the kids go out on Christmas morning to see if the reindeer actually ate it and still there, it means you got to do a little bit of an ad hoc thinking, oh, maybe one was allergic to it. I don't know.
That's hilarious. Hey, I got a quick question. Malcolm, what are you eating, since we all hear you eating it?
Yeah, I'm not eating them. The dog, I got Doc Holliday, Adam's dog here. When he eats, you can hear him a mile away.
All right, that's what I keep referring to for the microphone discipline.
Well, he's got this big nose, Todd, and it's black, and it's like a vacuum cleaner. And I'm feeding him peanuts right now.
All right, good to go. But, you still need to mute your microphone when you're not speaking, sir.
Okay.
All right, great. Now, well, thank you for that great reminisce. Velvet, what have you got? And you already had your date with your wife, so it has to be another experience.
Okay. So having everybody at the house. Why am I echoing?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. We may have a new broadcast engineer next week, so that's cool. Anyway, go ahead.
We really might have a new broadcast engineer next week.
So anyway, having everybody in the house, and I would always carry football with me at Christmas, and had all my brothers, my only sister, her husband, couple of grandkids at the time. I wasn't married yet. And they got the bright idea, let's go in the front yard and let's play football. I said, okay. So we ended up beating the crap out of each other for a full hour and a half. And then my dad called us in the house. Okay, come on, we're gonna have a meal. And, you know, we'll give out gifts. So we're all sitting at the table. Every one of us has either got a black eye, bruises, grass stains everywhere sitting at the table. And my dad goes, look at this bunch of heathens. I don't know where y'all came from, but y'all got to go home now.
That was awesome.
And the second one was my mom had Alzheimer's. This is before she died. And it's still a funny story. She was sitting there, and we were all talking and singing and just having a good old time, trying to see what we get out of mom. Well, everybody got real loud. There was about 30 of us at the house. Got real loud, and everybody's talking. My brother-in-law can go to sleep anywhere. He's laying on the hardwood floor in the corner, chilling out. So the brother, two brothers above me, he used to pick on me, the kid, and I have my own kids, and this and that. Anyway, he was just talking all kind of crap to everybody, and I had enough of it. So I said, look here. I said, if you don't shut up, I'm about to kick your head through the wall. And yeah, you're right. He goes, oh, no, you're going to kick me for. Oh, and then he's going on. And then all of a sudden, my brother-in-law whistles. Everybody got real quiet. I go, what'd you do that for? He goes, what's going on with that? He goes, listen. He goes, David's about to kick Billy in the head, and I want to see this. Y'all got to shut up. But he got the whole house quiet. It was great. But we always had fun. We were always rough. We always played. We played hard. We loved hard. And Christmas even today, we do this gift exchange with the whole family. We played a game. So it's crazy. This year's gonna have the most people in it. I think we're up to 25. And if they come, listen, if they come, knock on the door and say this is an unlawful gathering, they better be well armed when they come to this house, because everybody's probably going to have something on them.
Damn right.
So they better come and tell me. But yeah, it's always fun. It's always fun with my family. Never a dull moment, guys. Never a dull moment.
I like it.
All right. Okay. Now, have I gotten everybody but me? Because I've got an interesting one for you. Granny,
you haven't
got
me. You haven't got Granny.
Oh, okay. Okay, Malcolm, you, and then Granny, and then me.
Granny can go first, then I'll go.
Ladies first, Granny.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as I said, Christmas is a time of giving. You know, and when I first moved to Arkansas, I was a single mom. You know, I lived with my parents, and actually they had just got a double wide just around the corner from me and my son. And every year the elementary school there was an organization that would pick out kids' names that, you know, maybe low-income families, things like that. And one night we went to the grocery store, and we got home, and there was a box of food on our front porch. There was Christmas presents galore. I don't know where they came from. I don't even, you know, and all the card was a handmade card made on construction paper. And it said, Merry Christmas, you know, God bless. And that's all, you know, the organization never signed their name because that's what they always did. So that was, you know, a really good experience. And then my dad's youngest sister, she's been gone now about 6 years, and she came down to Arkansas after we moved to Springdale, and we went to Silver Dollar City to see the Christmas lights, and we drove through Shepherd of the Hills to see the Christmas lights, and that was a really nice time, too, because I was really close to my aunt. And when she passed away, it was really hard for me when I lost her, you know, five or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great story. Malcolm, what is yours?
Yeah, can I tell Todd something first? Todd, I have to feed this dog peanuts because he's going nuts right now. If I don't feed him, he'll start barking. You think it's a distraction when I'm talking, you hear him barking for a little dog, man, he makes a racket. He just tried to grab my arm and hump my arm.
I'm good with that, brother. I'm just saying that no matter what the noise is around us, we mute our mic when we're not on.
I hear
That's
you.
All.
I hear you. Yeah, getting back
to
special moment, Dr. John. I was in Korea.
Okay.
I was at Camp Stanton, and it was December of 84. And we lived near Yajigal, and there was this orphanage that the chaplain was telling everybody about. These kids didn't have any presents. I got a lot of money every month. And over in Korea, I went to this toy store in Yajigal, and I could get, for $20, I could get like $100 worth of toys. So like I spent $100 of my money, and I took all, it looked like somebody, it looked like Fred Sanford's living room, you know, with junk in it, but they were all toys. You know, I brought in so many toys. The chaplain, he said, Malcolm, that is really, he goes, how did you get all those? And I said, well, you can get such a deal over here. I said, why not take advantage of it? I got all kinds of stuff, you know, and the kids, you know, they never knew that I gave it to them. But you know what? Just the feeling, because they were orphans. They didn't have anything. They didn't have moms and dads. It's just a real special feeling to give kids in a country like that, that, you know, you've been there for the first time, you know, and they don't know what it's like to get presents in at Christmas in America. You know, to do something for them like that, that really made me feel good that year, despite what happened, you know, in the barracks, you know, and other Christmases I've been in. I always think about that Christmas. I even took pictures with my camera of the toys. There was a Korean salesman, and he displayed different ones, and so I could take different. I got like four or five different pictures I took of different types. I got dolls and like, you know, generic Barbie dolls and G.I. Joes and stuff like that. And those, you know, I just wish I could have seen the look on those kids' faces, because the chaplain said they were so thrilled when they opened those on Christmas Day. It just made me feel good. All the guys in the barracks said, wow, that was so cool that you did that. You know, I guess that's the most special moment at Christmas for me. 1984 in Camp Stanton, Korea.
Well done.
That is a great one. I've got the craziest one of all, and then I guess we'll say pre-Merry Christmas, and we'll be back next week with the story of the obelisk and my buddy Nick, who is very interested in that. And Todd, I will let him know what you told me. But I think the two best Christmases I've had since my parents have passed away were hosting the Professional Wrestling Federation Christmas show in Gastonia. It was the most fun. We have a Christmas show there every year, and we did that for about eight years while I was there with them. And now, for the third year in a row, I will go watch Bigfoot on Christmas Eve. In the Midlands of South Carolina with some special binoculars and everything. And what a great Christmas that was the last 2 years. And I can't wait to sit there on Robin's porch and watch Bigfoot. I think it's going to be great. So now you know I'm crazy. But I just wanted to say this has been the most fun.
Yeah,
it really is. It really is. And I want to see if I can I'm not worried about getting footage. They don't want to be. They don't want us to take footage of them. They just want to. They just want to be left alone. But it's really cool to watch it. And we saw two of them moving around there in the woods, and it was like, it was just so surreal. But anyway, you know, we all spend Christmas in our own ways. We've all had great Christmases. We've all had disappointing Christmases. We've all had a lot of good times and bad times, but it's still Christmas. And we can all share our good times and bad times and crazy times right here on the one and only Pop Culture Stars, where we sure are a family. And we have gotten to be one. So I want to go around the room, and everybody does a plug, and then we'll say Merry Christmas until next week. And we're going to start with ladies first, with Granny. What do you want to plug?
I just hope that everybody has a great holiday and stay safe and just good care of each other and wear your mask, because fans, this isn't a joke. You know, everybody, I guess they're tired of hearing people say that this whole COVID thing is a joke, and it's not. So just take care of yourselves and keep yourselves safe. And I hope everybody has
Thank
a
you.
Merry Christmas, and I love you. And I love y'all.
We want you to get well, Granny. The show wouldn't be the same without you. It really wouldn't. So thanks a lot. And then we'll go. I think the next person to call in was Todd. No, it was
Tim.
Tim. So what have you got to say, Tim?
I am a T-O-D-D.
He's called me Todd before. You know, I don't have much of a plug. Granny, I hope you get to feeling better. We, at work, we lost one of our own. I didn't know him personally. He wasn't at the Indianapolis site. He was a contractor. So, yes, it is a serious deal. Everyone needs to stay safe. You know, I'll admit I was at a Thanksgiving gathering where we had about 12 people, but we were safe. We played by the rules as much as we could. But, yeah, it's not anything to joke around with. We have to take the good that's with the bad. I mean, Todd, he's able to spend this year with his family. We've both been teleworking, and, you know, we just got a letter or an email, I should say. We might be teleworking clear up until June. So there's that. We just have to look at the good things in some of this bad stuff that's going on. So with that, I know we've got a few more shows we're going to have before Christmas, but I'm glad everyone's getting in the Christmas spirit, and look forward to talking to you all again next week. That's all I've got.
Here, here.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's wonderful. And I believe the next person, who was the next person to come on? I can't remember.
Todd.
Was it Velvet?
Todd.
It was Todd.
Todd.
Oh, thank you. Todd, what's up? What you got to plug?
I was going to start with Granny and the COVID, and here it is. It touches all of us. We can talk about the mortality rates and all that kind of stuff, but it's a bug. It's out there. It's real. We know that there are things that make some people more susceptible than others for the mortality rate. Just be safe. And I tell you, and it is harder, not just this time of year, but just friends and family. You know, there are people in our lives that we all don't even think twice about reaching out and hugging. Things in this part of life, this time, 2020, we actually got to think twice. That sucks. Just saying. It really does. In all seriousness, it's just about everybody, the way you all take care of each other, the way everybody pulls together. There's really some good examples out there. Try to stay positive. I ain't saying be Pollyanna. because there's a lot of bad out there. But, you know, try to stay positive. I will always default to take care of yourself, not for the selfish reasons, but so you can continue to take care of the family, right? My goal is, you know, I ain't got time to bleed, so I can take care of the doggone family. If I take care of the family, then they can do other good things for, and so on. And just try to lead by example, people. That's it. Lead by example.
We will. We should all do that. Thank you, Todd. That was a great one. The Amazing Velvet, what have you got to say? What have you got to plug?
Plug anything. I want to say, Granny, get better, quick, speedy recovery. Big hugs to you. Everybody else who knows anybody who's either died or is going through it, you know, that's just it's tough. So let's think about one another during this holiday and make sure you're staying safe. One thing I really have to plug is pro wrestling interviews Sunday night at 10. I know it's late. We have Mac McMurray, the referee. We're going to get a referee's perspective this weekend. He started his career
Very cool.
in the territories. Started his career in the territories. He's on an antacid commercial with Tim Horner. And he finished his he retired from refereeing, and he was working for the WWF at the time down in Florida. So, yeah, he's been around. He's been around with the big-timers, all of them. Hogan, you name it, he's been with all of them. He knows them all. And one of his best friends is Ronnie Garvin. So, you know, we talk to Ronnie every now and again.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm plugging. And plugging Dr. John, we got to sell some plants this weekend or I'm going to knock you out.
Don't knock me out just yet, Velvet. Come on. But I know you are, and thanks a lot. Oh, and don't forget that everybody's favorite wrestling girlfriend from the 70s and 80s, Susan Green, will be with us on Sunday night.
Right.
Awesome.
Yes, Malcolm. Be there. Granny, be there. Everybody be there. It'll be a lot of fun. So thanks a lot.
All right.
So now I'm trying to remember when we had Velvet. So, it's time for the Grinch. Grinch, what have you got to say?
Yeah, Dave.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm knitting my eyebrows together as you guys talk.
We're going to ride down to Hooterville. Hooterville.
And I'm going to steal that.
Yeah,
damn
we're going to want date with him. It's Hooterville, not Whoville. Just saying.
That's right. We're down
there.
You got to
say it in the right Eastern European accent.
Yes, Dave.
All right, go ahead, buddy.
My mind is totally detoured. The minute boobs come into the whole thing, my mind just whoop. See ya. but no, here in the house at the Atwell residence this week always is very special because, and not to get into the deep logistics of it, but I had lost a lab that was with me in some tough times. She lived 15 years and lost her back in 2006, and I couldn't even walk into a pet store for years. I just couldn't do it. It just screwed me up so bad. And so, as you guys know, we picked up Misty, our Mastiff, 5 years ago in January, this coming up January. Well, her birthday was November 27th. And Sadie, our rescue that we picked up, our first rescue, we consider her birthday as December 1st because that's the day we brought her home. So that's like the family day. So she turned 4 yesterday.
Happy birthday, Sadie.
Absolutely. She's fantastic.
I can't believe it's been that long already, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem like it. I mean, it's been a quick 2 years, which isn't good news for us getting along in the tooth. But tomorrow, my lovely wife, Gail, will be celebrating a birthday somewhere between the age of 56 and 58. And my son, Rob, if I haven't done anything else correct in my life, by Christ, my boy, he will be 22 tomorrow. They share the same birthday. And those of y'all have had the pleasure of meeting Rob. He's a chip off the old block. But he's almost like a like a good side of me.
I was getting ready to say he's a whole lot nicer than you are. He's a whole lot nicer. I'd much rather hang out. Hey, why don't you let him sub for you next week?
No, we still have to have Grinch. We still have to.
Man. He hasn't built up the star system that I have. I'll tell you that.
Right.
He
probably got better friends.
He probably does. Because I've been holding on to my damn self. But yeah, I'm hoping they have a wonderful birthday. And it's kind of funny. Last year we took Rob out to the marina, and Todd, you know where that's at.
Yepper.
And Rob, of course, went and bought a round of beer for everybody because he wanted to. We're supposed to be buying him rounds, but he wanted to buy a round for me and his mother. And, you know, there I am standing there seeing him in a pair of jeans and a flannel shirt and a ball cap, and his beard's growed out. I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, you know, this is my little guy. And here he is now, a man, buying his old man a beer. And you went through the same thing when Garion came in that day to the bakery and told me that he enlisted in the Marine Corps. And you remember how the two of us had a moment?
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, I tell you what, seeing this young man grow up to be the man that he is, if I have not done anything else right in my life, he is the evidence that I have. So, I have a good day along with my wife, and that's it, man. I hope everybody, Granny, I hope
happy birthday to them both.
Yeah, happy birthday.
We got one more to do now, and that's Malcolm. Malcolm, what do you have to plug?
Well, I'm going to plug this, man. Granny, I hope you get over the Corona Extra. Yeah, that's what Brady said, Corona Extra. And for all you guys, I want you guys to have a real happy Hulkamania holiday season, brother.
We'll do our best, Malcolm, I promise. Everybody will try to do it. All right, everybody.
Especially Tim, because he likes the madness the most.
Well, anyway.
All right, all right.
Next week, I'm just going to lay it out on the line next week on Sunday, 10 p.m., pro wrestling interviews with Mac Murray and Susan Green, Monday night Scary Cast with author John LeMay talking about tales of Billy the Kid. That is going to be great. And then, of course, next Wednesday night, our Wednesday night social club will be back. The producer is very happy with this show, namely me. Guys, thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Granny, we're all going to pray for you. It may not be fashionable to pray at other shows, but it sure is here.
Amen.
And thank you so much.
That's right. Absolutely.
Stay
safe.
Absolutely.
With us. Big bugs, Granny.
And
thanks,
everybody. Next week, and we'll go crazy again. Oh, that's right. Next week, and we're talking about monoliths and things from the unknown. So everybody be good. Thanks, and we'll talk to you. We will talk to you tomorrow, next week.
We're not ready for primetime players.
All right.
Everybody
be safe.
Well played.
I guess we can all just hang up because the British lady is not going to talk tonight. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right.
Drink some liquor. It'll get rid of that COVID. Trust me.
I need to hang up.